I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Now get ready for another episode of Shades of the Afterlife with Sandra Champlain.
Welcome to our podcast. Please be aware the thoughts and opinions expressed by the host are their thoughts and opinions only and do not reflect those of iHeartMedia, iHeartRadio, Coast to Coast AM, employees of Premier Networks, or their sponsors and associates. We would like to encourage you to do your own research and discover the subject matter for yourself. Hi, I'm Sandra Champlain. For over 25 years, I've been on a journey to prove the existence of life after death. On each episode, we'll discuss the reasons we now know that our loved ones have survived physical death, and so will we. Welcome to Shades of the Afterlife. Some news for today. Our second We Don't Die film is in the works. You may remember our first film, Rinaldi, Instrumental Transcommunication with the Other Side, featuring Sonia Rinaldi, who captures the images and voices from the other side. This next film is titled Evidence of the Afterlife, Saving Evidential Mediumship with Phil Dykes and Carrie McLeod. As you know, they are our premier tutors. And the idea of the movie is to restore mediums to what they should be, providing good education, integrity, making medium readings accessible to all at a reasonable price, and improving the quality of mediumship. You can see the latest on the film at WeDon'tDieFilms.com. Not too long ago, we did a special presentation with Dr. Craig Hogan about afterlife communication and the life after this life. Let me tell you about Craig. He's the author, co-author, or editor of 8 books about life after death and afterlife communication. He's the co-founder of the Afterlife Research and Education Institute. And along with our friend Roberta Grimes, he created SeekReality.com. It's all things afterlife. Personally, I feel Dr. Hogan is the world's leading expert in the afterlife. And I would like to share today some of the words he spoke to our community. So here's Dr. Craig Hogan and methods of how we can be in touch with our loved ones in the hereafter.
Thank you. It's a delight to be here. And I'm anxious for us to talk about this because it's an important topic. We know so much now that people don't realize about this life, the afterlife, and what will happen when we communicate with others who are living in the afterlife. So what I want to tell people is the most important things are that you must realize that when our body dies, our minds have just graduated to another level. We've gone on to a graduate school, which is filled with love, peace, and joy. Those who have graduated before us are waiting for us. They're alive, happy, and available to communicate with us, so we can communicate with them now. Anyone can learn to communicate with their loved ones living in the life after this life. Some methods are 98% successful. People just don't realize it. We're all members of the same universal intelligence. It's a spiritual essence. It is the background. It is the basis of reality. And if we realize that, then we need not have the animosity and the hostility and the problems that we have among people. If we just realize that we are one spiritual essence with each other, and we're helping each other to go through this wonderful experience that is Earth School. So what I want to do is I want to talk about two things. The first of these is the fact that our minds are not in our brains. They don't rely upon our brains at all. And as a result of that, when the body dies, the mind just keeps on going. It's as though when people come back from the afterlife and they tell us what happened when they made their transition, they said, I don't know. I was there and then I was here. I don't know what happened. Some people awaken on the other side, and then they'll awaken in familiar surroundings. It could be the childhood home that they had grown up in. One man woke up in the middle of a meadow, and he saw a horse coming towards him. And the horse was his old Nelly, he said. And it was his horse who had died that he had loved. So we go there. It's an easy transition. It is a painless transition. And so people have to realize the fact that it is something to look forward to. So the first thing I want to say is about the nature of reality, the way we know that the mind continues to live after the body dies. The universe is made up of consciousness. And since you are a manifestation of that consciousness, you will never die. Your mind is not in your brain, so you will continue to live after your body and brain die. As near-death experiences show, when your body and brain die, instead of becoming comatose, you become more alert and joyous because you're entering the next realm of your eternal life. Researchers, scientists, and other highly regarded professionals now acknowledge the fact that we continue to live after the body dies. It is not true that science says that the body dies and the mind dies with it. That is not true. It's the materialists who say that. Many scientists, physicians, counselors, people who are professionals in various fields are now coming to the realization that we do continue after the body dies. So the reason that we know that people are living in the life after this life, we have no doubt of that. We know that they're there. We know that they're communicating with us. What happens is when they communicate to us, then there's evidence based upon the communication that shows us that they're continuing to live there. First is that people communicating with their loved ones validate that it is their loved one that's coming through. And it could be in a mental medium reading. It could be in a materialization. Whatever the method is, they will validate the fact that this is, in fact, their loved one who's coming through. They comment on contemporary life activities that are validated by the people engaging in them. They'll tell them what they did the night before, what they did on the way there to wherever the location is. They'll tell them things about their life that are going on now that they could only know if they're living alive in the next life. No medium could do that. No medium would know those things. They have fully capable mental functions. When they come through and they communicate to us from the life after this life, their mental functions are more acute than ever. They've learned things in the life after this life that they come back and tell us about. There is no damage from the death of their brain. It doesn't make any difference. They never were in the brain. They carry on fluid conversations when they come back, that with voice characteristics and knowledge that could only come from that person living in the life after this life. They have personalities that are recognized by those experiencing the communication because of intimate relationships of knowledge of those who are in spirit. They recall and speak fluently and accurately about details of their experiences during their lives before their body ceased to function that are validated by the people who know them. Sometimes they have highly specialized knowledge that the medium could not know, and that they and the person receiving the communication on Earth would not know, and that is validated later to be true. They materialize, and those who know them on Earth testify that the materialization is clearly recognizable as the person. The afterlife communication experiences are very common. 70% of widows and widowers in one study said that they have had afterlife communication with their loved one. This is not an uncommon experience. It is very common for people to have these experiences. The functions commonly associated with consciousness have been shown to occur when the brain is not involved. So we know that when the brain dies, the people are not affected by it. The evidence that we have for the fact that we continue to live after this life is coming from a variety of sources. One is direct voice or independent voice mediumship. A second is materialization mediumship. Third is instrumental transcommunication. In other words, voices come through on recorders. Spontaneous materializations where people simply appear to other people. Psychotherapist-guided communication. Trance mediumship. Automatic writing, mental mediumship, dreams, and common afterlife experiences. There are many ways in which the people in the life after this life are coming through, and they're intent on coming through and communicating with us. So what I want to do is I want to go through a presentation that will tell you about these methods of communication, and I will explain them to you and explain how you can take advantage of them, how you can communicate with your loved one living in the life after this life. We have learned more than humanity has ever known about afterlife communication, more than anybody has known in the past century or so. We're learning more and more every day. You should know that you can communicate with your loved one living in the life after this life. The first method is through psychotherapists. One of the psychotherapists is named Dr. Alan Botkin. A second is Rochelle Wright. And a third is Dr. Jane Bissler. These psychotherapists are explained at afterlifeinstitute.org/psychotherapists. You can go to a psychotherapist and you can sit in the psychotherapist's office, and the psychotherapist will help you go into a state of mind in which you can have an afterlife communication. The first of these is induced after-death communication, and this was developed by Dr. Al Botkin. Al Botkin was a psychotherapist at the Chicago Veterans Administration Hospital. And there he learned that his combat veterans, when he put them into a state of mind using EMDR, or eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, when he put them into that state of mind, they're coming back and saying, I just spoke with that person for whom I'm grieving. I spoke with that young man that I killed when we were at war. I spoke with my fellow soldier who was lost during battle. And they told me not to worry about what happened. Don't be concerned about it. You're going to continue to live after this life. And so you didn't worry about the person whom you killed in the next life. We co-authored a book you can look at if you want. It's Induced After-Death Communication. You can go to the website at induced-adc.com, and you can go there and you can find psychotherapists who are using this method so you can experience it yourself. The second method that psychotherapists are using is called repair and reattachment grief therapy. It was developed by Rochelle Wright, who was a psychotherapist in Washington State. She was state certified. And she developed Dr. Botkin's method, and she took it and made it better by allowing those who are in the life after this life to take charge. In other words, it's their therapy session. They decide what's going to happen. They decide how long it's going to happen. Sometimes these therapy sessions can go on for 8 hours because the person in the afterlife is trying to get messages through to the person who's living this life. These are wonderful sessions. Anyone can have these communications. All you have to do is sit in the psychotherapist's office. They will put you in that state of mind. The next one is Loving Hearts Connection, which was developed by Dr. Jane Bissler. Dr. Bissler is a psychotherapist who is certified in the state of Ohio. She developed a method that is used online now. So you can go online and you can have this happen with you wherever you are, sitting in your living room. Go to clearingyoursoul.com if you'd like to know more about this. But I recommend this one because of the fact that she then teaches you how to go into the state of mind yourself, sitting in your living room.
It is time for our first break, and when we come back, we'll hear more about afterlife communication that we can do from Dr. Craig Hogan. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Keep it here on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Sandra Champlain will be right back.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. People don't always realize just how much their negative thoughts and experiences stick with them and weigh them down. You may find your brain constantly running through a highlight reel of bad moments. That comment your friend made last week that hurt your feelings. That frustrating thing your mom does. Or that silly thing you said in a meeting. Maybe it's time to get it all off your chest. Whether it's a tiny annoyance or something much bigger, talking about it can give you some relief and lead you to a potential solution. That's where therapy comes in. It's a safe space to share whatever's weighing you down and learn to process it so your internal highlight reel can focus on the good stuff. And BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Connect with a licensed therapist by text, phone, or video call. Start the process in minutes and switch therapist anytime. Let it out with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/shades today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/shades.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with the Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The internet is an extraordinary resource that links our children to a world of information, experiences, and ideas. It also can expose them to risk. Teach your children the basic safety rules of the virtual world. Our children are everything. Do everything for them.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with the Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, it's Dr. Sky. Keep it right here on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain, and we're here with Dr. Craig Hogan, afterlife expert, as he shares some different ways that we can be in communication with our loved ones.
The next method is self-guided afterlife communications. I developed this method and put it online because I had co-authored those two books with the EMDR psychotherapist, and I learned how to do it. And so I figured there ought to be some way that a person can put themselves into this state of mind. And so I developed the self-guided afterlife connections procedure. It's online. It's free. It's at afterlifeinstitute.org/self-guided. I'd invite anybody to go through. If you fill out the forms at the ends of the stages, then I will help you to go through it. The first stage teaches you about how you can have an afterlife connection. Second is about understanding what an afterlife connection is. Third is understanding your mind and how your mind can be put into a state of mind in which you can have the afterlife connection. An experience with connecting is going to be on stage four. You actually go into an afterlife connection with your loved one. In stage five, you have an extended conversation. So you go into a daydream in which you start talking with your loved one, and then the daydream goes into an afterlife connection. Six is practice with music, but without guidance. Seven is practice with no music and no guidance. So then you can just sit anywhere. You can sit in a doctor's office, and when you're having an appointment, close your eyes and have an afterlife connection. And the final stage is understanding the signs of presence. The next method is that you can use is meditations. You can enter a relaxed state of mind and have the intention of communicating with a loved one who's living in the life after this life. It's a skill. You can learn how to do it. People have gone into meditation and have taught themselves how to have their own afterlife communication. The reason that it's a skill that can be learned is because all you have to do is shut down the physical realm. Shut down the world around you. The world around you is interfering with getting the messages. We're getting messages continually from the loved ones who are living in the life after this life. They just don't bubble up into our awareness. They stay in the subconscious. And the reason is that we're living our lives. We're busy. We've got distractions. We have things happening. One of the people who learned how to do it in meditation was Maria P. Her sons had been killed by their father. She was devastated, and she needed to find a way to connect with them. And so what she did was she taught herself how to meditate. She wrote a book about her meditation and her experiences with her sons in it, called Journey to the Upper Realm. I'd really recommend the book. It's available on Amazon.com. You'll understand what she did. She explains the stages that she went through in learning how to communicate with her sons. Another person who's learned how is named Annie Kagan. Annie is connecting with her brother in spirit. And in her case, it actually happened that her brother came to her and actually started the process. And as he started the process, then he communicated with her, and she allowed the messages to bubble up from her subconscious into her conscious mind. And learning that skill then enabled her to communicate with him. She also wrote a book I'd recommend. It's available on Amazon.com. At the afterlife of Billy Fingers. The next method is a pendulum. Carol Morgan, who is one of the Seek Reality founders, is very astute at using the pendulum. And Carol has been doing this work for some time now. This is Carol.
Hi, everyone on Afterlife Forums. This is Carol, and I want to show you how I talk to Mikey when I'm on the forum. I think it will be helpful for you. I use this pendulum and this letter number disc where all the alphabet is on and all the numbers are on it. I hold the pendulum, and I'm going to hold my hand as steady as I can. And I start in the center of the disc, and I call for Mikey.
So you could read about her use of the pendulum in her book, Flying High in Spirit, which was written by Roberta Grimes. The next method is EVP or ITC. EVP is electronic voice phenomena. ITC is instrumental transcommunication. Both of these use devices. The foremost researchers who are doing this work, and they're recording the voices of children, especially in the life after this life, are Sonia Rinaldi and Sherry Pearl. They're doing marvelous work in helping people to hear from their loved one living in the life after this life. What happens is that they have a recorder running. In the background, they have vocal gibberish. And as the gibberish is playing, then they ask questions. When they ask a question, then the person in the life after this life responds. It goes onto the recorder. And when they play back the recorder, then it comes in. They ask a question, and they can ask as many as 10 or 20 questions. And they can record them. And then when they play back the recording, the person in the life after this life is there, is responding to them. They wait 10 or 20 seconds after each question, and they ask another question and wait 10 or 20 seconds. And they continue through 8 or 10 questions in a session. And it's a marvelous tool, and anyone can learn how to do it. This is an example. So the researcher asked,
would you like to leave a message to your mother?
Mommy, I can talk.
So that was the child in spirits who said that.
Would you like to leave a message to your mother?
Mommy, I can talk.
And what happens is that the child in spirit is being helped by technicians. So the child is not doing this alone. There are technicians who are backing them up and who are making the electromagnetic pulses come on to the recorder.
Say something to me in English to let me know I should use this.
I speak in English.
So that's the child in spirit who the technicians are laying down electronic tracks. This is actually the person, the child. What they do is they send their thoughts, and the thoughts then are turned into electromagnetism.
Danny, can you say, I love you, Mom?
That's the researcher, Sherry Pearl, asking of her son who is in spirit. The next one is automatic writing. You scribble words as they come to you. You just have a pad of paper and a pen in your hand. And as words come to you in your mind, they bubble up from your subconscious. They bypass your conscious mind and you write them down. It's very easy to do. You sit with a stack of 10 or 12 sheets of paper and a pen or pencil. Then after that, then you relax into an open receptive state. You scribble a statement or a question. And you scribble the first words that come to you. Don't hesitate. Don't stop. Don't worry about whether it's legible. And the messages then will come into your subconscious mind and they'll bubble up into your conscious mind. Teal Swan is a metaphysician, and I recommend her explanation of how to use automatic writing. The next method is called mirror gazing or psychomantium. And in the mirror gazing, you gaze into a mirror, you start to have a dialogue with the person in spirit, and then they will communicate to you in your mind, and then that bubbles up into your awareness. It's an ideal method of doing it, and we recommend that you learn how to do it because it will help you in making your connection. You sit in a darkened room where you can barely see anything. You prop up a mirror so it's tilted so you don't see yourself in the mirror. You're looking at a wall in the mirror. You relax, meditate, and you think of the person you want to connect with. And you go through pleasant times. Think about them and go through the pleasant times you had with them. What that does is to bring them to mind, and how it facilitates. Dr. Raymond Moody, who developed the idea of a psychomantium, then developed a method, and it is 70% successful in people having afterlife communications with their loved ones. In one incident, a person actually said they thought they were coming through the mirror. So that is a summary of the ways in which you can have afterlife connections. So I really would recommend that you investigate them. There, you will find a method that will work for you. And there's no doubt about that because there are so many of them that are available and they're so successful. And with that, I want to answer any questions that anybody might have about afterlife communication or about the proof, the fact that we know that we live on after the body dies.
Thanks so much, Craig. I wanted to start with some questions as people write in the Q&A box. Mm-hmm. First of all, with these things where we can do ourselves, if somebody says, oh, it's just my imagination, what would you have to say to that?
It comes up in the same place where your imagination is. In other words, it's all of these things that are mental are coming up in the same space. So it feels to you like it's your imagination because of the fact that it's there. But you will learn things, you will hear things that you would not have said. You would not have made them up. If you're going to imagine something, you have to say, I'm going to imagine an elephant that has rabbit ears. And then you bring that up into your mind. But if something comes spontaneously into your mind that you didn't expect to happen, you didn't intend to happen, and that's coming from someone in the life after this life, or it's coming from a guide or from other sources. But if it comes up naturally, then you know that it is coming from a source outside of you. So all you have to do then is to go into the state of mind, relax, allow yourself to eliminate the physical realm, eliminate all the things that are going on around you. And once you do that, then you can allow those messages to bubble up from your subconscious, and they come up very quickly. So if you ask a question, the first thing that comes to your mind is the response from your loved one in the life after this life. So as you do that and you get into the zone and you get used to doing that, then after a while, then you realize the fact that you're getting messages you never would have thought of. They unfold naturally for you. And as a result of that, then you know that they are coming from someone living in the life after this life. So that's what you have to do. And as you do it, as you get into that zone and as you practice and as you do it, then gradually you will completely forget about the idea that it's imagination. That won't even occur to you. You'll just have these conversations.
Would you recommend that people keep a journal? And also, could you talk a little bit about signs that we might get from our loved ones?
Journals are wonderful because of the fact that things are coming to you every day. You're getting some guidance from your guides. You're getting messages from your loved ones. There are helpers, people who out there who are interested in you, who just want to help you in your life. Some people may be dedicated to you. You may not even know it. They have chosen you, that they want to help you out in your life. So they're constantly giving you guidance. They're giving you cues. They're giving you some advice about what to do in your life. They don't bubble up from the subconscious. They're coming into the subconscious. We know that they're there because of the fact that we know that if you shut down the conscious mind, then they will bubble up into your conscious mind, and then you can become aware of them.
When we get back from the break, we'll talk to Dr. Hogan more about signs and how we can communicate with our loved ones. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Hey folks, we need your music. Hey, it's producer Tom at Coast to Coast AM, and every first Sunday of the month, we play music from emerging artists just like you. If you're a musician or a singer and have recorded music you'd like to submit, it's very easy. Just go to coasttocoastam.com, click the Emerging Artist banner in the carousel, follow the instructions, and we just might play your music on the air. Go now to coasttocoastam.com to send us your recording. That's coasttocoastam.com.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Art Bell Vault never disappoints. Classic audio at your fingertips. Go now to coasttocoastam.com for full details.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is afterlife expert Daniel Braintree, and you're listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain, and we're here with Dr. Craig Hogan. I first learned about Craig years ago when I was a girl afraid of dying, looking for evidence of the afterlife. His book, Your Eternal Self, really helped me turn the corner, knowing how much science is involved with afterlife communication. Now we'll continue with Dr. Craig talking about signs.
You get signs all the time. They will do things like they will have you look at a license plate, and it's a number that you associate with them. It's 777 or something like that. But what happens when they do that is they are with you, and they're inspiring you to look. So they didn't make the license plate. What they're doing is they know the license plate is coming up, and they're with you. They're inspiring you to look at it. And so they get you to look at it, and then you see the 777. Or it could be that there are feathers or there are dimes. My grandmother, when she crossed over, then all of a sudden I was getting dimes. Now, what happened was that I started getting the first two or three dimes that were just laying around. And then I said, that must be grandma. She's giving me these messages. And because of that validation, because I said that was true, I got many more dimes. And for days, I was getting dimes every place I looked. But you will get signs like that. But those are physical signs. Those are more difficult to get. And the person in the life after this life can inspire you to look at things, or they can actually manipulate things so that dimes appear. But most of what they're going to be doing is trying to communicate with you mentally. They want to get messages through to you. They want to communicate with you. They want to let you know that they're fine, not to worry about them, that they love you, and that they're anxious for the reunion that you're going to have when you come back together again. So you will get signs of your loved one living in the afterlife, but don't wait for the signs. Instead, learn how to communicate. Learn how to allow those messages to bubble up from your subconscious into your conscious mind.
Thank you. Craig, what got you into this, and what keeps you passionate about continually researching and sharing?
I'd gone through half of my life when I was 50 years old, and I started meeting psychics and mediums that were just coming into my life one after another. I didn't know why it was happening, but I started to understand things differently. I had no idea anything about the afterlife or the greater reality or psychic activities or anything like that before that. I had no religious background. So then when I had these people coming into my life, then I started to delve into it. What is this person? Why do they know things about me that I didn't know, or that they shouldn't have known because they're strangers to me? And so then as I delved into it, I went to a psychic, and she said to me, you will find out that you have psychometry ability. And she said, go home and take a deck of playing cards and put one card at a time face down on your palm, and look to see whether it feels warm or whether it feels cool. And then place that into a pile, don't look at it, and then go on to the next one and do that. And so I went home and I did that. I went through about 25 cards, and I had these two stacks, one of them was a warm stack and one was a cool stack. And so I turned over the cool stack, and every one of them was black. And I turned over the warm stack, and every one except one was red. So I realized then that I have psychometry ability. I have psychic ability. Then I learned that I had another medium tell me that I could do remote viewing. Remote viewing means you sit in your office or your home and you look at something that is thousands of miles away. It doesn't matter where it is, but you can look at something which is a great distance away and you can see it. So you just sit, relax, empty your mind and focus upon whatever that is, wherever that person is. And so I had a man who did it with me, and his name was Bill Knowledge. He was in New Jersey and I was in Illinois, and he said, I'm going to put something on my table in my office. And I said, well, okay, I'll take a look at it and then I'll do a sketch and let you know what I find. And so he did that. I sat quietly and closed my eyes. And after a while, I started getting images of a round object, and it felt like it was metallic. It felt like it had a button on it. And so I sketched that and I sent it to him. Then I sent him sketches of some other things. I got several other things. He said, well, no, those weren't things that were in my office. And one of them, though, was, it was a green banker's light. And yeah, that was right. And so then he went home. And when he went home, he was surprised to see the things that I was sketching were on the tables in his home, not in his office. And so he went from table to table and he found every one of the sketches. And so I discovered that there is much more to reality than just what we know to be true. And so I then delved into the fact that if the mind is not in the brain and we can do these things like remote viewing, that means the mind continues after the body dies. I began thinking about and studying about and finding about afterlife communication and the afterlife. And over the decades since that time, then I learned so much that it was no doubt in my mind about the fact that we live on after the body dies. That's so obvious to me now. It's surprising that anybody could doubt it. And so then I decided to devote my life to helping other people to understand the same things that I had learned. And so I'm teaching people about that now. And I'm devoting all of my time, every hour of every day, to doing it. And looking forward to more ways of doing it. And so those are the reasons that we're cooperating in these endeavors now.
You're like the Energizer Bunny on this, to keep on sharing, and you're doing just such good work. All right, here's a question that came up. Of the different resources you recommended today, which ones would you say would be best for a novice?
For afterlife communication, I would suggest going through the self-study, and that's it. afterlifeinstitute.org/self-guided. And I would recommend going through that first. And the reason for that is because that teaches you unfoldment. It teaches how to be open to what's coming to you from the life after this life. The second method that I would recommend is Jane Bissler's. You can do it online with Jane or with one of the psychotherapists. She's taught a lot of the psychotherapists how to do it now. You can get online with them and they will teach you how to have your own afterlife communication as they take you through having one. And it uses EMDR, it uses that psychotherapy method that I had described. And so I'd really recommend that because of the fact that it is very successful. In one study, she had done it with 16 people and 15 out of the 16 had afterlife communication experiences. So I would recommend the self-guided afterlife connection or Jane Bissler's afterlife communication method, because those are the most successful today.
We have a question about automatic writing. Is there a way someone can train with a professional to do this?
You don't need a professional. It's one of those things that you can do all by yourself. You will get better at it by doing it. So in other words, as you do it, then you'll understand what it's like to be in the zone, to be in that state of mind in which the messages bubble up from your subconscious. They come out and you scribble them down as quickly as you can. And then what that does is it eliminates the physical realm. So you can't think about it. You're just scribbling down those words just as quickly as they come to you. And when you do that, the messages will bubble up from your subconscious into your mind and your awareness, and you'll scribble them without having to think about it. So you don't need to have someone teach you how to do it. All you have to do is sit down and do it. What you do need to do is you do need to learn how to allow unfoldment. Unfoldment means that you're allowing these messages to come through, the bubble up from your subconscious. That requires that you just eliminate the physical realm. You shut down the physical realm. And you can do that through meditation. You can do that through automatic writing. Anything that you can do that will shut down the physical realm, the psychotherapist method that's being used, they're just doing that. They're using EMDR, an eye movement desensitization reprocessing, and they're teaching people how to then go into that state of mind. And then in that state of mind, then they have eliminated the physical realm and the subconscious comes out. And that's where your messages are. We are continually, all day long, every day, getting messages from our loved ones, from our guides, from helpers, from others who are interested in us. They're continually coming to us. All we had to do is relax and let them come through. And when we do that, when we relax and we let the messages come through from our loved ones, they realize they can communicate with us. And so then they want to communicate more, and they will communicate more. Some people say that after the funeral that, well, you know, for the first few months, I had the sense that he was around me, and I had the feeling like I was getting some messages from him. But after that, though, they just went away. I don't know what happened. And the reason is that you're not responding. So it's like you're talking to somebody and they don't respond to you. After a while, you're going to stop talking to them. So what you have to do is start these methods and practice them and go into them and allow them to unfold to you. And as you allow them to unfold to you, then the person in the life after this life will be very excited about it. And they will excitedly come to you and give you more messages. They will do more things with you. So you can have a new relationship. You can have an ongoing new relationship with the person living in the life after this life. All you have to do is communicate. Just allow those messages to bubble up from your subconscious into your conscious mind.
That's great. You know, somebody once told me, you know, if grandma sends you a Christmas gift every year and you don't say thank you, she may not continue giving the gifts, yeah. Right? And I think our loved ones, we won't know until we get there really just how hard it may be to communicate. And here we are as human beings, we live in such a busy mind and we're so distracted by technology. And I think it really is, like you said, unfoldment to get into that space. And I've heard it said before, as far as automatic writing or anything, in the beginning, it could be 99% you and 1% them, but their love is there. And the more you're willing to work with them and the more practice, all of a sudden your mind gets a little quieter. There's going to be more of them, less you. And there's some really beautiful stories out there who have remained in touch with their loved ones. And like you say, a whole new kind of relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a wonderful relationship. So it isn't a substitute relationship. This is a fulfilling relationship. Some people say they couldn't have a relationship like this with their loved one when they were on Earth, but now they can have it. All the baggage is gone. All the problems are gone. So it becomes a new kind of relationship. It's a really fulfilling relationship. You just have to go into it, be open to it, and allow the communication to happen.
When we get back from the break, we'll hear from a lady and get some instruction on automatic writing. And we'll hear more about life in the afterlife and what we're here for from Dr. Craig Hogan. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Stay there. Sandra will be right back.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
Is he breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren. Don't forget to check out my show, Strange Things, each week as I bring you the world of the truly amazing and bizarre right here on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ufologist Kevin Randall, and you're listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain. And before we get back to Dr. Craig Hogan, he recommends a woman named Teal Swan and her words for automatic writing.
Automatic writing is the written form of channeling. And even though some people are particularly clear channels whose own thoughts do not interfere with the signal of another being's stream of consciousness, all people are technically channels who can learn the art of automatic writing. And it's one of the most therapeutic tools to access and become aware of your own subconscious mind. Step one. Sit somewhere completely free from distractions. I also want you to begin by using the hand you don't usually write with. Your neural pathways are essentially set up in congruence with the hand you usually write with. And those neural pathways act as filters for any non-physical consciousness to be filtered through. We don't want any of that filtering process to occur through the process of channeling or accessing the subconscious mind. So I want you to use the hand you don't usually write with. Get a paper, get a pencil or a pen. When you get more skilled at automatic writing, it will no longer matter which hand you use. Two, adopt a position which makes you feel the most relaxed. Some people, most of them in fact, prefer to be in a slightly reclined position with their paper on their lap. The point is, you want to make your body sort of like an instrument that allows energy to move through it as freely as possible. So I want you to go through your body in a body scan, starting at the top of your head, ending at the bottom of your toes, and deliberately relax each muscle within your body. Three, put your pen to the paper and consciously intend and decide to let go completely. You want to let go of control. You want to let go of inhibition. Just give it away, knowing that you can gain it back anytime you wish, or you can stop the exercise. Let go also of thoughts. Do not think about the process of automatic writing. You simply want to allow your pen to begin to move. You want to let anything come through the pen that wants to come through, no matter if it makes sense or not. It doesn't need to make sense. Don't interpret what is being written. You can do that later. Now, it must be said that it's normal for the mind to butt in and try to take control, but if it does this, simply stop writing and consciously let go of control again, just like you did at the beginning of the exercise. You can either do this with your eyes open or closed, and you have to note that automatic writing can come in the form of doodles, pictures, symbols, or words. Four, Allow your pen to move for as long as it wants to move, until you feel like the session has ended. And after the session has ended, you can feel free to look at the byproduct and begin to interpret what has come out of that particular session. 5, I want you to become familiar enough with this particular process of just channeling in general before you try to channel anything specific or any specific being or stream of consciousness. However, once you feel like you're ready to do this, you go on to the next step. 6, you have a decision to make. Either you can open up to whoever or whatever wants to come through you at this particular time, or you can decide to specifically tap into and receive the signal of a specific stream of consciousness or a deceased loved one. 6, tap into their energy. What I want you to do is to fully receive them as if you can feel yourself and your identity dissolving into theirs. This is the conscious willingness to get rid of your ego. Breathe them through you and repeat the process described earlier, except this time with a conscious invitation for this specific energy to come through you. Imagine or sense or feel the stream of consciousness literally flowing through you as if it was a literal stream cascading through you and through your hand. Then, you can either let the information that wants to come through flow completely without asking questions, or you can engage in a kind of dialogue whereby you ask questions or someone else asks questions to you, and you allow this being to answer through you, or this stream of consciousness to answer through you. Anytime you feel yourself listening to the answers and information, or wanting to take control back and answer how you want to answer instead of allowing the information to come through completely separate of attachment to what is said, simply stop and consciously let go of control again. It will feel similar to the feeling of swimming upstream in a river and then suddenly letting go and allowing the current to take you completely limp and with no resistance whatsoever. Again, I want you to engage in this particular automatic writing session for as long as the information wants to flow through you. You will get a sense for when there's a kind of completion. After that, feel free to look back over what was said and interpret the message. The process will become more natural and effortless, and the writing will begin to sound less and less like you as your thinking mind gives way. You will eventually be able to step out of the way for information to come through you. It will be the most in-the-flow writing that you've ever done. In fact, many of the greatest artists in history are in fact channels who do not create art or writing, but instead who allow the art to come through them. At the very least, automatic writing sparks some serious creativity.
I think those are good words, but don't get hung up on exactly how to do it. There's one way to do it, and that's your way to do it. Just grab your keyboard, your computer, pen and paper, get into a relaxed state, have love in your heart, and start to write. We'll get back to Dr. Craig Hogan now, and I asked him a question about, are we real people when we go to the afterlife? Some people think we are balls of energy.
All of the information that I have is coming from sources from the other side. None of it is through my intuition. None of it is from a guru, none from a religion. Everything that I say is coming from a source living in the life after this life. And so then all of these things must be corroborated. I expect to get the same messages from many sources in the life after this life. And when I get them, then I know that they're true. And one of the things that we get is the fact that when we go into the life after this life, we have bodies. We live in houses, we have streets, and we have meadows, and we have mountains and seas, and all of the things that are wonderful about this life, but things are even more wonderful there. So we do have bodies, and people say there that when they woke up in the life after this life, and they woke up in a room, or they woke up in a meadow, or wherever they woke up, they thought they were dreaming because of the fact that it's so much like this life. In other words, then all of the senses are there. You have all the sights and sounds. And the people then are there walking around just like you would have normal people walking around town. And you're talking to each other just the same way you would be talking. And so we know for a fact that all of the sources from the life after this life tell us that you have a body and you live in a life that is much like the earth life, only much, much more wonderful, and that you needn't feel like you're going to go into a ball of energy or that you're going to immerse yourself into the great one entity that just doesn't happen. That is not the way that it happens. You will have a body. You will be an individual. You will continue to be an individual throughout your eternal life. So you don't need to worry about grandma being gone once you get there, that she didn't reincarnate, because you are still an individual when we go into this life. The notion of reincarnation is misunderstood. When people talk about incarnating, we as individuals incarnate, we stay as individuals whom we are, but in our higher self, which is the larger self that we're part of, the higher self then has another individual come into Earth School. And that other individual is entwined with us. They maybe have taken a framework from our life, but they are entwined with us. And so that new individual then comes into Earth School and they become an individual who lives throughout eternity. But because of the fact that they're entwined with us, then we can have a past life regression. We can learn about that other person's life. We can have images of that other person's life. But it's because we have their framework. It isn't because we then become another person. And so what we need to do, all we need to do is to allow those messages to bubble up from our subconscious, and we will learn all of these things about the life after this life.
I love your explanation of that. Because a lot of people think their child passes, are they getting reincarnated and we'll never see them again? I agree with what you have to say. And also, if we look back on the course of history, 50 years ago, we had half of the people living on Earth than we do now. Mm-hmm. So there's always been a population explosion. And if there's only been reincarnation, we'd still only have a few billion people on this earth. Mm-hmm. So I like that explanation. I really do. And it's also been said from spirit friends that we can have 1 foot over there and 1 foot over here, to use our human mind to try to figure out what the afterlife is like or what our potential is. I think it's impossible. And we may not even know all the answers when we get over there.
Yeah, right. We're always learning. So in other words, when we get to the life after this life, we don't just sit back and in our recliners and drink beer and just have a good old time of it. We continue to learn. So we will go into the life after this life and we will grow spiritually. One of the ways in which we grow spiritually when we go into the life after this life is we will help others here on the earth plane. So we'll come back to the earth plane and we'll help others who are having difficulty, or a loved one who's having difficulty. If you feel like grandma has come back to communicate with you to help you through a crisis, you're right. She does. And that helps her to grow spiritually. It helps her to develop spiritually. And at the same time, it's helping you to develop spiritually. So we know the fact that the life after this life is a reality, and it's a wonderful world in which we will have an opportunity to do all of the things that we would love to do. So we're here to learn lessons, to grow in love and compassion, and to have fun. And so some people are missing one of those. You know, it may be that they're missing growing in love and compassion, but they're having fun. But they have to have all three. They have to learn lessons, grow in love and compassion, and have fun in the experience.
If you would like to find out more or contact Dr. Craig Hogan, you can simply go to seekreality.com. What you just heard was a part of a presentation he did with us. If you would like the entire video presentation, just go to wedontdie.com, click on the store page, scroll down, and you will find Evidence of the Afterlife with Dr. Craig Hogan. Donations are appreciated, but they are not required to watch the video. I hope this episode left you open to the possibility of communicating with your loved one. They are by your side. They are healthy. They are well. They love you. And you will see them again. I'm Sandra Champlain. You've been listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
And if you like this episode of Shades of the Afterlife, wait until you hear the next one. Thank you for listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you,
And how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.